Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 17 through 23, and can be found on page 964 of your pew Bible. Matthew 10, 17 through 23. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you into their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And our second scripture is found in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and can be found on page 1196 of your pew Bible. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This ends the reading of God's holy word.
I invite children to come forward to the steps for a children's message. Okay, how are we doing? Good to see you all here. I have something in my bag I want to show you, but I have to be very brave, okay? I have to be brave to put this on. Let's see, what do I have?
A hat.
I have a hat. I don't know if you can see what's on that hat.
It's a star.
It's a special star, but I have to be brave, and maybe this will tell you more, okay? It is the number 21 with the all-important star, so you get to see, you know. Do you know why it takes bravery to put this on? I am a Dallas Cowboy fan, okay? Do you hear some of that out there? I've heard it already. It's a shirt. I have been at, are any of you 10? Not quite yet. Are you 10? Wow, you grow quick. That's good. Well, I have been a Dallas Cowboy fan since your age. That's a long time. And when I put on this kind of stuff and I go out in the public, I get those kind of comments, okay? People, they can make fun of me, and I don't like that. But I have to be brave to put this on, okay? Now, I want to be very, very brave. Okay, I have something else in my bag that all of you might be able to carry someday. And I have to be really brave to take this out into public. Do you know what this is?
Yes.
It's the cross.
And
it spells Jesus with that big old S. Okay, well, just as people may make fun of me because of the team I follow, because I go out with the cross, because I am a Christian, Jesus says in the Bible that everyone will hate me because of him, but those who stand firm to the end will be saved. There are people that don't know Jesus. There are people that have no faith. There are people that don't like Jesus. And so anyone that we might claim as Christ, they also may hate us or may dislike us. Jesus was talking to a time when there was lots of hatred in the world. But then Jesus says, those who stand firm to the end will be saved. I do wear this. I've been a Dallas Cowboy fan, and it was the blessing at 8 o'clock service that the one other vibrant Cowboy fan in the sanctuary was at 8 o'clock service, and Matt Hines gladly came forward to put the shirt on. I wear that, and I also boldly tell people that I am a Christian, and I know that it takes effort and strength And that's why your families or your parents are teaching you to believe in Jesus. And that's why we as a church want to continue to teach you to stand firm to the end that you will be saved. Jesus died on the cross. Yep, that happens.
I made a funny face like this.
Very good. Well, I'm glad you're here making a funny face because we enjoy getting to know you. Okay, as we get to know Jesus, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the wonder and the joy of children. And Lord, help us to continue to teach them and equip them to stand firm to the end that they might be saved through the love of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Have a great day.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God.
I told some of the men that I was able to hear them from the hallway on Wednesday night when they were practicing, and they sounded pretty good. And they thought everybody should just stay out in the hallway. But you sounded even better when I was here in the front. We are talking about perseverance this morning, and you just saw an act of perseverance. Maybe you will figure out who I'm talking about, that there was someone that wanted to sing in the sanctuary once they reached their 90 or 91st year. Yeah, so Denny got the chance to sing with the group here in the sanctuary now that you are in your 90s, and it must have been a special occasion because you have some of your family here. So thank you for singing. And also, and it's just happenstance that the cross I used for Children's Moment was made by Denny as well. It's getting kind of long, so I think I'm going to lose page 6 of my sermon, if that's okay. I can honestly say that I didn't know I had 6 pages, so it's completely blank. But it's what the copier printed off, so take that for what it's worth. I thought I'd get you. There's an old story of a snail that started climbing up an apple tree one cold winter's day. And while the snail was creeping up the bottom of the trunk, a little worm stuck its head out of a hole in the bark and said, "You're wasting your time. There is not one single apple up there," the worm said to the snail. And the snail replied, "By the time I get there, there will be." I always like to hear that ripple. Perseverance. That snail had a spirit of perseverance. Perseverance means that you are prepared to endure right to the end. In spite of your circumstances, with those circumstances often involving adversity, even boredom, or even drudgery, that we have perseverance to the end, and we don't know when that end will ever be. So we just continue to persevere. There are several biblical characters that come to mind when thinking of perseverance, people who persevered to the end. There is Joseph of the Old Testament, well known because of that coat of many colors given to him by his father. But it was Joseph that was sold into slavery by his very own brothers. And then once in Egypt, he was wrongfully imprisoned. And yet Joseph continued to persevere. Persevere in so much that he stood firm that ultimately he was there in Egypt to save his own father and his brothers. God put him in position to care for his family. There's the Old Testament Job that many are familiar with, whom God allowed Satan to test. So Satan took away everything from Job, all of his vast livestock, all of his many servants. Satan took away his sons and his daughters. Satan eventually took away Job's health. Job lost everything. And throughout all the tragedies and the trials of those testings, Joseph persevered. And his faith in the Lord was unshaken. Going to the New Testament, we have the life of the Apostle Paul, who endured countless trips to distant lands where travel was not as easy as it might be today. It was that Paul who suffered persecutions at the hands of many when he went to those towns and those lands. He experienced himself several stretches of imprisonment. And yet Paul persevered through. We have 13 of his letters in the New Testament to speak of his perseverance. Jesus talked about perseverance, the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18. A widow who repeatedly went to the judge seeking justice. And the judge would deny and say no, but she kept returning and, quote, bothering the judge until the judge gave in. That woman was persistent. Hebrews chapter 11, known as the chapter of faith in the Bible. Hebrews 11 witnesses to several people who persevered through to the end. They were persevering through their faith in the Lord. Well, besides all those biblical examples of people of the Bible living in perseverance, there are also several passages in scriptures that touch on the subject of perseverance or endurance or diligence. I want us to take a closer look at the three passages we've heard read this morning. First, from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. As one seeks context of this passage, context of what the author is addressing in these verses, we read in Hebrews 10, verse 10, the author establishes the truth that we have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of his body, Jesus Christ our Lord, once for all. The Old Testament system of sacrifice has been set aside, for only through Christ may true cleansing from sin be accomplished in our lives. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 24 read, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. In verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Unswervingly. That means straight ahead, no going to the right or the left. Unswervingly, let us hold to the hope that we profess in Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews 10 wraps up this call to persevere in verse 36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. You need to persevere. the need to persevere. Some of the Christians, the letter of the Hebrews, had been sent to. Some of those believers were close to throwing in the towel. They were ready to give up. Even in the early church, there were Christians that were fed up with the ridicule and the harshness, the toughness that they were having to deal with. The adversity that they had been facing had them close to throwing in the towel, to throwing away their confidence. And so the writer is encouraging them to persevere. Don't give up, stay strong, believe, and be saved. Do not throw away your confidence. Satan cannot take away your faith. Life cannot take away your faith. Your faith is your faith. You are challenged and encouraged by Scripture to stay strong in your faith. It's up to you to persevere in your faith. And blessedly, with Jesus Christ as your Lord, you don't do that alone, but it's your will, it's your decision. And then moving to Matthew 10, verses 17 through 23. Prior to these verses, Jesus has been getting his disciples ready to be sent out. He's going to send them out to deal with evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness known at that time. Jesus has very well prepared them to be sent out. And so he gives them some instructions in verses 5 through 16, which sets up the verses that we've read this morning. Jesus warns the 12 about the welcome and the treatment they are going to receive from the people they encounter. Jesus, he's very honest with the disciples. He tells them what they really are going to experience. He lays it on the line for the 12. There's no sugarcoating, there's no mincing of words. Simply the truth. The 12 disciples, as they travel around healing and teaching, they can expect trouble. They can expect a difficult journey. They can expect to be arrested. They can expect to be judged. They can expect to be punished. Harsh punishment. Flogged and scourged. They would be used as an example against such healing and such teaching. And as Jesus warns them of what they will experience while on their travels, he knows their faith is going to be tested, severely tested. And as they undergo physical struggles, they may not be sure what to say to those that have attacked them. But Jesus tells them, do not worry, for the Spirit of God will speak through them. And that's a reminder to us in the days of our trials, do not worry because we do not fight alone. The Spirit of God is with us. The 12 disciples will be facing great hardship, for even their families will turn away from them. They will persecute them. Their families will revile against them. That's going to be harsh for the disciples. It can be so harsh for us in today's world. And in the midst of Jesus' instruction to the 12, the warnings that he's offering to them, Jesus offers up the true point of faith in verse 22. All men will hate you because of me, but those who stand firm to the end will be saved. Jesus, having prepared and instructed and warned the disciples, they had a choice to make. Would they go out and serve in Jesus' name, or would they refuse and turn back from Jesus? And he reminds them, all men will hate you because of me, but those who stand firm will be saved. Which leads us to James 1, verses 2 and 4. And in this pastoral letter that has his name, James, the brother of Jesus, James gets right to the point. You are going to face trials of many kinds. We see that in Hebrews, we see that in Matthew, and we see it here in James. James had witnessed the trials, the testings that his brother Jesus had endured. He knows this, and he's writing his own words to strengthen and encourage. James seemingly complicates his point by bringing in the equation of joy. As you read those verses, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trial of many kinds. He complicates the point of his thing because most of us focus in joy. How can there be joy? Well, set the joy aside and think about how we face many trials of many kinds. James is making the point that when a Christian endures a trial, as they rely on their faith in Christ to guide them through, their faith will be strengthened. And when a person's faith, when a Christian's faith is strengthened, there is cause for joy. Joy in Jesus Christ. Enduring through trial after trial, great or small. Each trial we face is an opportunity for the strengthening of our own faith. And not just our own faith, but people around us. James writes, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Mature, building towards that time, constantly throughout life. James is writing about the subject of salvation. And he's very aware of the need for perseverance to attain salvation, especially in the light of the trials and the temptations that we face and encounter in a secular culture. If there is faithful endurance, perseverance, the believer is strengthened in faith, leading to being perfect and complete, the definition of mature. And there's pure joy. Pure joy, the acceptance of Christ's example of perseverance. Living in faith, living by the teachings of Scripture, humbling oneself, obeying God's call upon life, going to the cross. We are challenged to take hold of God's strength in our lives. God is present, and we are challenged to take hold of His strength. For God will make it possible for you to continue and persevere through any ordeal, able to endure to the end in faith. Standing firm in faith leads to eternal salvation. As you reflect back on your life, as you reflect back over your life, is perseverance a value that is evident in your life? I want you to be thinking about that question. I know that I have talked at length over the years about my high school days of wrestling. I was also in cross country in high school. It wasn't my favorite sport. I did it because it helped me get ready for wrestling, but I learned to kind of enjoy cross country and running when I was able. And during my senior year of high school, my coach came up with what he thought was a great idea. My teammates and I, we weren't so sure how great it was. But during homecoming week, our coach thought that we could run from our opponent's high school to our home high school and enter the stadium either at the beginning of the game or at halftime. And everybody would celebrate that we have just run that race. How far was the school that year? For an illustration of this, if you GPS Archbold High School to Swanton High School, it's approximately 26 miles. Our coach thought it was a great idea that the cross-country team could run a marathon. And he did all the calculations of what we would need. So he set the starting time and he set the pace for what we would have to run in order to arrive at the right time. And our coach set the pace for us. He ran with us. Now, in cross country, the top five help make up the team's score in any given meet. I was, one week I could be five, and one week I could be number six. I really wasn't that great of a runner, but I could endure great pain, I guess. And so the coach knew that we would have to stay together and run this marathon, and so he set the pace for us. Well, we started early enough, And someone asked me about this after 8 o'clock service. There's no cell phone, okay? There's no GPS to find the back way that we were running this marathon. When we got to the stadium, or when we could see the stadium at our home field, after running nearly 26 miles, the stadium was dark. There had been a storm, and the lights didn't work. So the game was postponed to the next day. No cell phone, we didn't know. And I really forgot that point until I was reviewing my notes this morning. I said, oh yeah, that was right. We ran the race. Our coach taught us how to persevere. Now, normally in a week, we would run 6 to 8 miles, not 68. And so 26 was a stretch. But we were young and we were able to do that. I have no idea how old our coach was at that time. He was really old to me, but he was probably in his 30s. But I have remembered that lesson of perseverance without all of the hoopla at the end. He taught us to persevere, that it's within us to persevere. And yeah, wrestling is a physical sport, cross country is physical, but for me, it was much more mental. And having our coach run with us that day made all the difference for me, the fifth or sixth guy on the team. Well, when we run in life, we do not run alone, but Jesus is running with us. After reviewing my sermon notes last night, I was then checking some more stories about college football, and I came across a note about the Nebraska quarterback who I had watched play for the afternoon, and Martinez revealed something that he had endured. And evidently, he broke his jaw in a game at the end of September, and he was given a choice at that time. He could have surgery and end his season. He could sit out for a little while and let the swelling go down and he could start playing again, or he could continue to play on. He chose to play on. I can't imagine some of the tackles he took yesterday with a broken jaw. But he made the choice to play on. That is perseverance. We each have a choice. Are we going to throw away our confidence? Or are we going to play on? Are we going to persevere in faith as Christians? Not just here in the sanctuary of safety, but in the world. Are we going to persevere? Are we going to be brave enough to bear our cross, to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord of our life and Lord of the world? Enduring to the end. That is my prayer, that we would endure to the end. We would stand firm in faith, because as we believe, we are promised salvation in the end. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, I thank you for the many aspects of Scripture that teach us to persevere. And I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, everyone that has heard these words this day, they would hear your call to stand firm, to be strong, to survive through, to make it through the tests and the trials of life, to persevere in faith as Christ persevered on our behalf, to give us the promise of everlasting life, of salvation. For this, O God, we give you praise and glory. Amen. As you continue to reflect upon your life and perseverance in faith, I invite you to share your offerings with the Lord as our ushers come forward. Thank you. Lord God, we thank you for your strength and presence in our lives. We thank you for the faithfulness that Jesus Christ gives to us. And Lord, may we persevere, and we pray your blessing upon these offerings and upon each one of us, that we would be faithful and these offerings would be seeds of the gospel to share with others. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 477, Stand Up for Jesus. And after the spoken benediction, our benediction and song will be the third verse of number 483, Lead On, O King Eternal. Stand up for Jesus.
Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts in God's love and Christ's perseverance. Amen.